All right, Mark chapter 5. So there's this guy who just, he gets up one morning, he decides he wants to go and do some ice fishing. So he gets his bucket and he gets his saw, he gets his fishing line, gets everything he needs, and he goes out in the ice and starts cutting a hole in the ice. And he's doing his thing there, and the next thing you know, he hears this loud, booming voice. There are no fish under the ice. He looks around, and what was that? So he just goes back to cutting again and trying to do his thing, and he hears this voice comes back over again. There are no fish under the ice. He looks around, he's like, God, is that you? And the voice comes back, this is the ice rink attendant. There are no fish under the ice. Stupid joke. All right. At least it's better than what Brother Charles told last time. Amen. All right. Well, this morning I'm thankful to be here, and I don't just say that. I know you've heard it before that I'm not just preaching. I mean, I'm telling the truth. It is a privilege and an honor. And it don't matter who's here and who's not here. What matters, amen, is that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. The greatest achievement that any person could ever achieve is to find the will of God and do it. And where we come into a problem, where we have where we're contrary to God, is when we try to do things our way. And what we do is we fight Christian life, trying to this wrestling between our flesh and the spirit, amen. And it's a bizarre thing. This Christian life is very bizarre if you really think about it. And what the devil wants you to do is he wants you to focus on what's in front of you. I mean, all this stuff and honestly, all the stuff that's going on and stuff that you hear. Most of my news is secondhand. I get my news. I don't seek after it. It may come across the phone. I may hear it from someone else. But these things are not conducive to a spiritual lifestyle. It's just not. I mean, I can think years ago. I mean, you can go back in your mind 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and there were similar things being spoken about all those years ago, and we're still here. What kind of God would He be to fearfully and wonderfully make us, create us, put His Spirit in us, give us access to the Father, and then we just live problem to problem? Amen? I mean, what kind of cruel... I mean, you think about that. What kind of cruel God would He be to say, well, okay, He's just going to dump you out there, do the best you can until I come back and get you? And that's not what this is about, amen? This is about knowing exactly what God has for you to do and resting every single day. There's an acronym. It's D-A-Y. It's die daily, abide in Christ, and yield to Him. And that is the hardest thing to do. And it is very difficult. You ever come up to it's so funny, you come up to a yield sign, it becomes a race to see if you can beat the person who has the right of way. Maybe you don't do that, but I do. you're up there and you're like, man, I got to wait on this guy. Of course, it's 3 milliseconds, but you can't spare 3 milliseconds. I mean, you're in a hurry, bless God, amen. And I want to beat that guy coming up. I got things to do. And it's hard. Brother Jim talked about that half hour of silence. That's silence. You know what happens when you have silence? If you have enough silence, eventually you come to a point you have to face yourself. I'm serious about that. They have a place out in some research center. I don't know where it's at, but it is the quietest place on earth. And they have they have engineered these walls, and they're very, very deep, and they're jagged. And the idea is for maximum sound absorption. And they do different testing there. If you want to go in there and you want to test something that you're trying to engineer, you can use this as a test facility. But it's engineered to absorb every single sound and noise that could possibly be emitted. And they say, I think there's the record for staying in that room, I think, is an hour. Because they say if you stay in that room long enough, you will go crazy. Because you're so used to it. You're used to some kind of like ambient or background noise. And when that's taken away, it messes with your mind. We don't like the silence. It forces us to deal and to see ourselves as we are. And that's what the Scripture does. It shows you what you are. Amen? Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And here's a story like a lot of other stories you've heard, like a lot of other people, like similar stories in the Bible. And this woman, she had a problem. Amen? And a lot of us this morning, everybody's got problems. You stop at the gas station, you go talk to somebody, and most people, you know what they want to talk about? They want to talk about the problems, and everybody's got problems. But and the devil's going to make sure that you go problem to problem to problem. So don't wonder when, because the problem's coming. But the problem, see, I used to wonder about that as a kid. We live in a world that's supposed to be as problem-free as possible. And we have all this technology, and it's more problematic than it ever has been. The Christian, what problems don't define you, they make you better, but they shouldn't weigh you down. I've seen some people that have genuinely suffered through their Christian life. And you'd never know. I find out later that brother so-and-so, boy, he comes in here and he's smiling, and God's on him. He's got a good spirit about him, and he's somebody I want to be around. And then later I find out he's been going through what? He's been enduring that? You could never tell it. Most happy, but and Paul, I mean, he gloried in his infirmities. I'm not there yet. Amen? I'm not. I don't suffer well. And there's some people that, I mean, God gives grace. Amen? And you look at them, and you're blessed by them. You get a blessing. Why? Because of how they handled what they're going through. It's not for you to glory in. If you glory in your infirmities, you're stealing glory from God. Problems. Verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Amen? Listen, if God's in your life, you're not going to hide that. The absence or presence of God in your life cannot be hid. Amen? I thank God he wasn't hid from me. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus saith unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone and her daughter laid upon the bed. Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. God, the Bible says that you made this day, Lord. Each day is made by you. It is for us to give back to you. And we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the folks that are here. And I pray, Lord, that you'd move. I pray that you'd bless this for your glory, God. Get me out of the way. Bless Brother Andrew this morning. Give him a safe trip back. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. We read about this woman. She was in a desperate situation. And you and I have been in desperate situations, amen. And the Bible says here that she used the word besought. And besought, what that means is she urgently and fervently, amen. When she called upon the Lord, it wasn't a passing thing. Lord, I've got all these requests, and just real quick, I've got this major problem, and if you want to fix it, then great. No, it was urgently. And if you know what we need in church today? We need urgency, and we need fervency. Why? Because this is important. The time draweth nigh. The devil would have nothing more than to lull us into a false sense of security, of the things that we have possessed on this earth. And of course, you look around, that's hard to do nowadays. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God we're in a situation where if we're getting shaken up a little bit, that's what we need. But we need urgency this morning. Her situation was that she had to do something now. I need help right now. What made the difference in this woman's life? I mean, once again, this is not about her problem. And there are different problems. What made the difference was how she responded to her problem. Amen. Everywhere you look, amen, problems and issues. You know, God promises us that He will help us, He will care for us, comfort us, and carry our burdens. But it does not promise that He'll take away our problems.
Right.
Amen. I wonder sometimes if we ask God, would you just take this out of my life? I wonder if that's why when you pray, I mean, when you pray, you say, God, thy will be done. God, bless this situation and fix it according to thy will.
Right.
You don't know God's will in a lot of situations. You don't. Some you do. And if you don't, God, we give it to you and we want to raise this before you. Don't you know God knows your problems? He knows your problems before they happen to you. And it's so funny. Christian, I got a question for you. When you come to church and you ask prayer requests, have you asked God to help that situation before you brought it to church? Is there a secret formula? It's like, if I can just get down to the church house and everything's going to be okay. Well, that's true. But listen, God should be in your home. I'm going to pray. You know why we do what we do? A lot of times we do what we do, and I know it may be the mechanics of it, and it's just something you're used to and all this stuff. But, I mean, you know, you think about this, and you think, and when you give a prayer request, do you think it's going to be more effective when you have a whole lot of people praying than just one? Don't you think that God heard you the first time when you prayed? And listen, I do. If I had an issue, I'd want more people praying. But you know why you do all these things? It's because the Bible tells you to. In all things, in everything, thanks and prayer and supplication. Amen. And the Bible says, and part of that asking prayer is bearing one another's burdens. See, all these things come into play. Because you ask, Lord, why me? Why am I going through this? Why? You know why? It's for His glory. Do you think God is sadistic? Do you think He gets some kind of sadistic pleasure out of the fact that you're suffering or going through something? But see, His ways are not our ways. Amen? There are some people who have the ministry of suffering. I've seen a situation with Brother Scott and this man. He loves God. He's doing right. He's a pastor. He's going through all this stuff. And in a terrible situation. And you can't help think, Lord, I mean, why did it happen to me or to him and not to me? And we don't understand all these things. But listen, when situations come, we need to approach them properly. Amen. When they come in, you know why? Because there are no accidents in a Christian's life. Her attitude in this situation made all the difference. I don't deserve this. I'm a Christian. I go to so-and-so Baptist church. Why did this happen to me? I don't deserve this. And yet it did. It's for His glory. It's to teach you something. It's to teach others something. Is to show a Christ in you through others. Amen? How did she respond? It's our attitude going through this problem. Some people allow their problems to define who they are and what they are. I know a lot of Christians right now, they live heartache to heartache. Just ask them, they'll tell you. I've heard somebody say this before, when things get better, I'll get faithful in church. I'd hate to stand before God. Can you imagine that standing before? And once again, that's why it is so important to be in your Bible and to have the Spirit of God in you. Amen? I hate to stand before God. Can you think of a single excuse that you might tell God why you didn't give Him your all? Every Sunday we stand behind these pews and we sing a lie. Christ has made to me all I need. That's a lie. You sing lies. Exactly. It's a lie. Be honest with yourself. Amen. What does that guy say in the Bible? He said, he smote his chest. God, be merciful to be a sinner. But, and I'm going to tell you something too, and I hear a lot of preachers do this, and I think, there's a lot of things that make good preaching, but it's not good doctrine. Amen. And I know we're sorry and rotten and no good, and that's fine, and I get all that. But at the same time, do you understand what's inside of you? It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize you have supernatural power within you? You have access to the Father. The same God that did all those miracles in that Bible, don't you think He can do it for you? I mean, I really read those stories about the children of Israel when the death angel was passing through there and he had the blood over the doorpost. How many of those children of Israel did God rescue that applied the blood of that doorpost? Every single one of them. How many of you that God's applied the blood of Jesus Christ to your heart is going to make it through? Every single one of you. My God can do it. Have you put him to the test? The Bible says that. Put him to the test. Is this do we have something real or don't we? Let me tell you what God did. It's amazing. Well, it should be amazing. But why are you surprised? Why are we surprised? Always be amazed, but never be surprised what God can do. There are many gods, but there is only one true and living God today. And it's who you and I serve, amen? And it's not about White Oak Independent Baptist Church. It's about serving God. This just happens to be where God wants you. Then praise the Lord, amen? But God is here. He's here. He's out there. He should be in your home. He should be in your car. Every single day, you get up and you say, hey, sucker, you're dead. I'm not dealing with you today. It takes every single day. When I need faith, he gives me enough for that time and that situation. When I need strength, he's a very present help in time of need. Amen? And you think, listen, there are times when you don't feel saved. And there are times when you're like, I don't feel God around me right now. Can I say that even if you don't know where he is right now, you can always look back and see where he's been? Amen. He's close to you even when you don't realize it. And when things are tough, say, God, listen, I got nothing. God, I'm spent. I got there's nothing left. But I need faith, God, for right now. God, I need strength for this very moment. And he'll do it. Why? Because he promised it to you. Amen. Never said he'd take it away. He said he'd give you the strength to get through it. Amen. There may be situations in your life where everything seems completely out of control. We got storm systems coming up. You know what the Christian life is? Christian life's like the eye of the hurricane. And all this stuff is going around us. Terrible, terrible things. And as long as you're looking out, you see nothing but doom and gloom. But if you look up, you'll see sun. You'll see the sun. You'll see the sky. You'll see help. Stop looking out here. Start looking in here. Start looking up there. He's in perfect control. He's not the author of confusion. He knows where you are. My dad told me that one time. I was looking for a wife, amen? And I was like, man, I got to get this thing figured out. I tried to do it in my own power because I was pretty smart back then, amen? 20 years old, I had it figured out. I knew exactly what I needed. And my dad's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Do you not think that God can send you someone where you are? In Podunk, Alabama? Boy, I tell you, and you, some of the PBI guys, I mean, that, you know, half of them down there was to get a wife. I mean, the perk was Bible school, sure, but they wanted a good godly wife that they could tell them what to do, and they went down there and got them one. And I know people that hop from meeting, you know, looking for a wife. I mean, they got it figured out, man. And I was like, you know what? And finally, I got, after all my pursuits, I said, God, I said, fine, I'm done. I'm tired of this. I can't do it. I keep messing it up. And if that's true, God, send me somebody. And I was done. I wasn't even looking for her. You know where she was the whole time? She was in the same church I was in. What a lesson. What a God. Are you, that really happened? Yeah, it did. Why should we be surprised? But see, when it's all about you and you're trying to figure it out and you're pushing God out, there's nothing he can do about it. Why should he overrun? He's not going to overrun your will. I mean, the precious Son of God himself was in that garden. He said, Jesus Christ had his own. Amen. How much more are we going to have to get rid of our will when the darling Son of God had to do the same thing? Amen. Not my will. First of all, we see in verse 25, You'll notice her faith. She heard and believed. She heard and believed. Would to God there are some Christians who could have that kind of faith. Say, hey, the preacher said it, and I believe it, and I'm going to live it. It don't happen that way. I'm going to go out there and experience it. I want to hit every roadblock of life, bless God, and experience it for myself. You don't have to. I mean, because of how I was raised, there's a lot of speed bumps I'd avoided, amen? Now, there's plenty I had to go through myself, too. But you know what? That's called, you don't have to experience all these things. Listen. Heed the Word of God. Believe it and live it. And that's what she did. Her situation demanded this. She didn't have a choice. She heard and she believed. The Bible says, verse 25, for a certain woman, amen. And today, there was a certain, you were a certain person. You were a certain woman. You were a certain man one day when God came by and saved your soul, amen. A certain woman. She heard of him. I wonder where she heard this, amen. Where did she hear this? She heard it somewhere. She may have heard it down at the church house. It may have been soul winning. Where she heard this, it was rumored in the town that Christ is coming by. Amen. We need to start a rumor around here that God's in White Oak. Amen. Where did she hear? It was rumored. And she heard this. Her faith was increased. Amen. When she heard that God was in town. In verse 25 here, it says, it didn't say that she knelt at his feet. What does it say? Brethren, you know, it'd be a lot better if we'd fall prostrate before God. And we kneel. We kneel in prayer, and that's good. We need to kneel in prayer for the things that we have in our life. But you know what, God? God wants you to fall on him. Amen. That's who he is. And God does help us, amen? And he can be our helper, and he is our helper. But you know what you need to do? You need to say, hey, take that whole situation and say, God, I don't just need your help. I need to give it to you. And that is so hard to do. That is so hard. And there's situations, you know, and God will test you sometimes. And he'll put you in situations where you don't have a choice to see what you do. And I've seen it. You know, it's so funny. A lot of times I'd be like, well, I'm sure trials are coming, and I'm looking for them. When you're right in the middle of one, and you don't even realize it, you know. I mean, you're thinking, well, this be it. I'm dealing with a situation, but this can't be it. Well, how do you know? Amen. How do you know what God's putting you through? Amen. That's why you've got to be in this Word. That's why he's got to be able to communicate. This is how God communicates with us. Amen. She fell at his feet. She was desperate. There was no other solution. Amen. The devil doesn't want us fixed. Amen. That's why this situation, I don't want to get into politics. Amen. But you've got a generation of people that just a handout and give me and rely on somebody else, and it's somebody else's fault. Amen. And it's infiltrating the church. Amen. Her faith revealed. Amen. Second of all, God's presence. We see God's presence. Verse 24. But he could not be hidden. It could not be hid. And that's why we want him, amen? I said this earlier, the absence or presence of God in your life cannot be hidden. In your time of need, God's presence will not be hidden. He may not always have the answer that we like, but his answer is always right. Verse 27, we see her problem. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it under the dogs. Boy, what a verse. You know what? You know what he said? You know what he called her? He called her a dog. You can go in there and you can research all that and the differences there. But he called her a Gentile dog. You're not worthy. What a thing. I wonder what most churches do with that verse. You know what you and I are this morning? Gentile dogs. But you know what the contradiction is? That we're spiritual Jews. Amen. That we are adopted. Whenever you see an adoption story about this poor young kid and whatever the situation may be there, and just I've seen some videos of parents giving these kids, showing them adoption papers, and it's a very touching thing. And to think that you and I, one day, man, I mean, we were poor and destitute, and you have nothing to offer. And God said, I'll take you. I'll take you. I'll adopt you. Of what merit? Nothing of you. It's not about your ability versus your ability or what you can do. Your greatest ability is your availability. I struggle with that too. God, what could you possibly do with somebody like me? And you know that's pride. It is pride to think that, oh, I'm just a big sorry so no you know sorry so and so, and God can never do anything with me. That's pride. It's you saying, Lord, I'm available. Here I am, and I'll trust you that you can do something with me. How do you know unless you never tried? Have you tried him today? Have you tried God to see what he can do? She called him a Gentile dog. Remarkable here is what she does next. God reveals a problem. There was something that separated her from God. Folks, this morning, that's why sin, you should never have a light view of sin. You're going to have sin in your life. It's going to happen. But it should never stop being shocking. It should be repulsive. It should be a dung heap. Why did I do that? I hate it. And separates us from God. God is willing, ready, and able to help. But there's something that separates us from him. David said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. That about sums it up. You might as well be honest with him. Why not be honest with him? I mean, I'm just talking about brutally honest. Is there something in your heart that you're holding back and you say, hey, God, you can have all that's mine? Why keep it? What's holding you back from doing exactly what God wants you to do? Last of all, we see her answer. She didn't say, God. She said, she answered to him. What was her response? Hey, you can't talk to me that way. I've got my rights. I'll take it down to the council. I don't need you. I'm a strong, independent woman. I'll do what I want to do. And listen, we talk about all this. I don't like this feminism junk. And it's just as bad if a man does it. It's no different. It's wrong. The idea that you were created by the deity that created this world, and you're telling him, I'll do things my way. Do you know what an offense that is? To his son? From the world's point of view, she had every reason to say, you can't talk to me like that. That's right. Let me tell you something too. You'll never win an argument with God. Amen. Don't even try. It'll never happen. Amen. And you know what's offensive? When you stand there and God tells you, hey, you're wrong, and this is what you did. Like Nathan telling David, thou art the man. Right. Oh God, me? Are you sure about that? Can you double check that? Yeah. She may have had some doubt here. Who knows? Why? Of all the things I've heard about him, and this is how he talks to me, I'll go with somebody else. Whether you doubt it, whether it's true or not, which it is, your response should be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever it is. I don't care how much it breaks my heart. You're right, I'm wrong. You know what she said? She said, yes, Lord. She didn't argue with him. She didn't have her rights. You're not going to win that argument. Yet, the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Everything you have this morning, your wealth and your health, any advantage you have as a Christian, you know what those are? They're crumbs. We're eating the crumbs off the master's table. See how much we enjoy from crumbs? Do you know there's a whole lot more where that came from? Amen. He's not going to give you the whole loaf, amen. You know what they did in the desert? God, he gave them manna, what, for that day. This is what you need for this day. Stop trying to hoard it up. See, and once again, Brother Jim was talking about all these and these preppers and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, from our point of view, that makes sense. I've got to do something. Why? I want to preserve this. This is paramount. This is the most important thing in my life, is this carcass that betrays me all the time. No, it's him. Can God provide a table for his children in the wilderness? He does it every day. Yes, Lord, but the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Yes, Lord, that's true. Yes, Lord, you're right. Can I say here, it says here, for this thy saying goes away. Do you know he took care of the problem the minute she changed her mind? The minute you changed your mind, when you were saved before you ever came down to an altar. The minute that she repented, the minute she accepted, he already took care of it. Guess what? God's already working on it. When the shepherd's in the valley with all the sheep, you know what he does? While they're sleeping, he goes ahead to see any of the pitfalls and the trials and the tribulation. He's already scoped it out. Amen. He does that for who? For you and I, because he loves you. Amen. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. Praise the Lord, it's okay. All is forgiven. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter who you are, God is ready to forgive, to restore, and help. That's who he is. Amen. He can't be any other way. What's true thousands of years ago is true right now. Amen. Truth doesn't change, by the way. Amen. It isn't your truth. Your truth is nothing.
That's right.
It's the truth of this word.
Amen.
Her problem was solved the minute she humbled herself. Spurgeon said, if you do not lie prostrate on the ground before the cross, then you've never seen it. If you're not humbled in the presence of Jesus, you don't know him. Her response got her daughter healed. Her response changed her life. Her response got her noticed by Jesus Christ, and it got her name written in this book. From what? Two words. The most important two words you'll ever say.
Amen.
He healed her. He heard her. He helped her. And then he healed her. I don't know if a lot of you know Andrew Murray, a famous biblical author. Andrew Murray suffered terrible back pain after an accident that never healed properly. And there was a point in his life where it was almost unbearable, and other problems had beat him down. Discouragement, depression. He began to be very discouraged. A friend was visiting him one day, and he said, I see you've got great trouble. He said he could tell on his face. And Andrew said, yes, I do. If you have any advice, could you write it down on a piece of paper so I could pray? The friend came back shortly with these words on paper. And it said this, in times of trouble, say this. First of all, he brought me here by his will. I must rest in this. You're there, not by an accident. God brought you to that place. Secondly, he will keep me in his love and sustain me in his grace. And third, he will make this trial a blessing so I can learn something in the valley I would have never learned on the mountain. Father, I pray this morning that you would bless your word. And God, get us in a position and teach us and help us and lead us, Lord. Lord, you don't drive sheep, Lord. We're to follow after you. Follow in your footsteps, Lord. You're ready, willing, and able to guide us, but we must be willing to follow you. And bring us into a position, Lord, that we can trust you and know that Father knows best. And God, it's for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.